The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord Jesus, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. I invite you to be seated. There were at least 3 years when my first church owned a vacant piece of property that used to be part of the city tow yard. The vestry voted unanimously to use almost the entirety of its modest savings, had no endowment, to purchase this piece of land, for which the phrase "God forsaken" was created. This double lot was pushed against the cliffs of Jersey City, and it used to be part of and was adjacent to the tow yard. And it was also patrolled by a junkyard dog, who may or may not run after you, depended on whether it'd been fed, I don't know. And the lot was also, when we purchased it, covered with weeds and trash and old tires. And I was young enough in my ministry that I was certain that this was the exact spot that Jesus had in mind when he told the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. And if you're not familiar with it, this parable, it's just one sentence long. It's in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had to purchase that field. Which is, in fact, what my church had done. And I thought this was true of this double lot because it was catty quarter to the city's public housing neighborhood. And for several years before we purchased this lot, I'd been running an after-school and summer program with mothers from the public housing neighborhood. We called this program cleverly the Homework Club. I don't know. Anyway, the Homework Club met Monday through Friday, 4 blocks down and 1 block over in the public housing community room. And the community room was very rarely clean. And since it was a community room, meaning not ours, the door was often locked when we arrived because someone in the main office forgot to open it. And because this room wasn't ours, the church van that I drove back and forth across town every day was like an enormous mobile closet filled with graham crackers and apple juice and scissors and construction paper and pencils and all that kind of thing. And again, community room, not ours. We couldn't so much tape a construction paper butterfly to the window in this room because 6 o'clock, the Homework Club had to disappear back into the church van. And this is why, for quite a while, the neighborhood moms and my church and I, we all share this dream. There were countless beautiful, clean spaces on the gentrified side of town for kids. Why couldn't there be a space like that on the west side of town? And we imagined a place where kids could go after school on the west side of town and in the summer and have dance classes and art classes. And instead of eating graham crackers, where we could have this beautiful kitchen where we'd cook homemade meals every night. And instead of just having crayons and worksheets, that there would be a place where we could have computers that actually worked, and enough space for volunteers from all over the city to come and help kids with their homework in the late afternoon. And someplace also, this was very important, that wasn't some kind of iridescent lit industrial square concrete room. We wanted someplace homey where the door was open and you wanted to go in. Not long after the church purchased the land on 6th and Jackson Street, my very arty mother came to paint the 6-foot-tall wooden fence, which just kind of screamed, "Keep out," around this lot. And she took green and yellow and blue paint and made these lovely waves all around the fence. And I had collected prayers for the community center that were written by the moms and the kids and people from my church. And my mother, in her high school teacher handwriting, it was very neat, took a Sharpie marker and she wrote on the waves every single prayer. And the prayers were things like, the center will be a place where I make new friends. The center will be a place that belongs to everybody in the city. The center will be a place where I can get my schoolwork done. The center will be a place where I can dream and learn, et cetera, et cetera. Because my church didn't have the money to actually break ground in this lot to build this community center. By the way, we just figured eventually we'd find it. That was our plan. But we didn't have it when we got the lot. We decided that to keep the momentum going, that we would have a ground blessing ceremony. And I got members of 3 different neighborhood churches to turn out for this thing. And there was my congregation and the families of the kids, and there were political officials, and we prayed and we sang and we read scripture, and the mayor made promises that absolutely none of us thought that he was going to follow through on, rightly so. And in the middle of the service, Minister Shirley Dennis from the True God Holiness Pentecostal Church led her choir and my choir in singing, "I Will Do a New Thing in You." And one by one, the kids and adults put on these plastic gloves. Again, this is all my brilliant mother's idea. And covered their hands in purple paint and left their handprints on the fence. And the Episcopalians, dutiful as we are, took the assignment and followed it exactly. Put their hand in the paint, went up to the fence, left a handprint, went back to their fold-out chair. But the Pentecostals were there, as I mentioned. And the Pentecostals put on their plastic glove, stuck their hand in the paint, went up to the fence, touched the hand, put their hand on the fence, put their other hand up in the air, and started praying and praying and calling upon the Holy Spirit to intervene and make all of the prayers that we'd shared on that fence come to be. And while this was all happening, Minister Dennis, it's a perfect Pentecost song, as I said, was singing. I will do a new thing in you. I will do a new thing in you. Whatever you ask for, whatever you pray for, nothing shall be denied, says the Lord. Which is why I was crying through the whole thing and straight through the cookout that we had afterwards. And not all, long time after that, had a wonderful party, again, to try to keep the momentum going. Since we didn't have the money to build this community center, we decided that it would be a good idea to put up a sign on that lot that said, "Future home of the Jubilee Family Life Center." And the sign had a stick drawing of kids playing under a happy sun. And the sign looked great. And the fence looked great. It was so full of promise and hope. And then a year passed. And then another year passed. And then another year passed. And I watched the kids who were at the ground blessing grow up before they should, which is one of the reasons we were trying to build the community center. And as they grew up, they were learning about broken promises. And if they ever started to forget about that, there was a sign stuck in the ground at the lot with stick figures of kids on the corner of 6th and Jackson Street to remind them about broken promises. And in the middle of all that, one night, I had this dream. I dreamt I was barefoot in the basketball court near the community room where the homework club had been meeting at that point for years. The basketball court, as it usually was in my dream, was also covered with glass. And there was a little girl in it, no more than about 5 years old, all by herself, and it was nighttime. And I couldn't quite recognize her in the dark, but I was sure that her name was going to come to me in a minute. And I was also sure that she had no business being outside alone in the middle of the night. And so gingerly, I started walking around the glass in the court with the intention of finding out where she belonged and taking her there. But as soon as I got a couple of feet closer to her, she took off down the sidewalk. And man, was she fast. And every time I got a little close to catching her, she darted around the next building or down the stairs or behind a car. And I was running after her for so long, I lost track of where I was. In part because I kept just looking at the ground, trying to make sure that I wasn't going to get glass or rocks in my bare feet. And we raced across the concrete sidewalks and the asphalt parking lots and the gray tiled hallways of the public housing buildings. And all of a sudden, while I was looking down, I was chasing this little girl across a polished wooden floor. And I thought, wait a minute, where are we? There aren't any floors like that in the public housing buildings. And that's when I suddenly just seized up. And I realized the Jubilee Center is going to have floors just like this. And I woke up. Ask me how we got the construction loan to start building the Jubilee Center. Ask me how we got the money to pay the mortgage every month or even how we got the money to buy chairs and tables. It's all a blur to me. All I remember about that time is that we were always 2 months away from running out of money. And just like I never caught that little girl, we never closed. And the Jubilee Center was beautiful. And it was full of sunlight. And it was clean, and it was ours, and it was a place not only where we had dance classes, but we had Alvin Ailey dance classes. And we did have brand new computers. And tutors came from all over town, and every single night, parents were in the kitchen cooking home-cooked meals that everybody ate. And the day of the ribbon cutting, when I stepped onto the polished wooden floors of the Jubilee Family Life Center, I remembered all of a sudden that wild little girl in my dream, and finally her name came to me. That little girl was the Holy Spirit. She was the Holy Spirit. And since then, I've learned some about her that I'm going to share with you this Pentecost. What I know about the Holy Spirit is that you cannot catch the Holy Spirit. She is always about 10 feet ahead of you. I also know that it entertains her to watch you try and catch her and try and make her do what you say. But the Holy Spirit is going to go wherever she wants to go, and there is nothing that you can do about it. Personally, I also believe that the Holy Spirit likes playing with people. Playing with people who think that they know her. And also, I think this is a special delight of hers, using people who think that she does not exist. I've seen her amused to make atheists into saints. I know that she has absolutely no interest in 5-year strategic plans and in church bylaws. By the way, she doesn't like our church best. In fact, I think the Holy Spirit sometimes much more prefers spending time at AA meetings, because at least there you can always at least find one person who wants to be resurrected from the dead. And I personally am still always afraid to chase her, because when I try, I am afraid that I am going to get hurt. And inevitably, I always do. But instead of cut up feet, the real risk of chasing the Holy Spirit is a broken heart, which apparently is Christ's favorite medium with which to work. That, along with pipe dreams and incapable people, that the Holy Spirit likes to bring about instances of the kingdom of God touching earth with. It's Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit blew a fiery wind across the disciples, giving them words that they didn't have before to speak about the contrarian love that makes the last first and the first last. And it is the day that the Holy Spirit was sent to the church so that we might have the capacity to bring good news, the good news of Christ, to the ends of the earth. And God, for sure, I know it does send the Holy Spirit, but it is always up to us whether we want to risk chasing her or not. And keep this in mind as well this morning. Remember that the Holy Spirit is also wind. And sometimes it feels like you are chasing her, But really what's going on is she is running ahead of you because, and this is something you don't know until you can feel your feet lifting up off the ground. What you don't know is that while the Holy Spirit is wind, that all along you have always been a kite. So come, Holy Spirit, and make your church fly. Amen.